is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Let's ask the deacons and deaconesses to please be seated. We're going to sing a stanza of this song, Let Us Break Bread Together on Our Knees. Then after that, we're going to distribute the emblems to you. And during the distribution, we will sing the remaining two stanzas of this hymn.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together.
Last Supper, Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and he took a loaf of bread and he asked God's blessing upon it. And at this time, Lola will bless the bread.
Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of your body that you've made for us. Lord, I just pray that each one of us, as we partake of the bread that signifies your loving sacrifice, Lord, that you'll fill us with love and with appreciation and with kindness. These things we ask in your precious name, for Jesus' sake, amen.
And in the same way, he took a cup of wine and asked his blessing upon it. Janice will do that.
Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will bless these emblems as we partake of them. And remember that the juice represents your broken body, you who died on the cross for us. And we pray that we will always remember that, for I ask it in your name. Amen.
And after the blessing, he took the bread and broke it and then distributed it.
Let us sing the song again together from the very beginning. We're going to sing all three stanzas.
Let us break bread.
us drink the cup.
Let us drink the cup together on our knees. Let us drink the cup together.
Praise God together.
Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together.
Sing the last stanza together one more time.
Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
Those of you that are in the balcony, except for those that are manning the booth up there, we'd like to request for you to please come down if you'd like to participate today. Come down and receive the emblems in the foyer. Thank you. Has everyone been served? Don't forget our singers up here as well on your way up here or down here. Thank you.
Jesus said, "Take and eat it, for this is my body." And in the same way, he said, "Each of you drink this from it, and this is my blood, which seals a covenant between God and his people. It is a poured out to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
What a joy it is to participate in the Lord's Supper, to relive that time when Jesus Christ said, "I will not partake of this again until we see each other in my Father's kingdom." I've asked myself the question now and then, why such the pageantry, such deliberate, methodical, slow manner in which we go about the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of humility? It takes too long. And it takes too long. But I believe that while we may not know consciously, a lot of us, why we do it the way we do it, that instinctively we have found the reason why, and we know the reason why. When the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion comes around, count an extra 30 minutes or more in the worship service. I won't preach that long, by the way. But you see, I think that one of the key things that we need to consider when we talk about, when we consider the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of humility, at the heart of this exercise that we go through every single quarter, and other churches do it every month, other churches do it every week, is what I believe the heart of this is what I believe the heart of what it takes for Christians like you and me to truly be formed by the Word of God. The text that was read to us today by Brother Price comes straight from the mouth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he says, men or human beings, men and women, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Perhaps one of the best, if not the best, metaphor for formation, for being formed by the Word of God could be found in the book of Revelation. In that spot of Revelation, I believe it's Revelation chapter 11. When John, in a vision, is told to eat a book, swallow it up, masticate, chew on it, swallow it. Have you ever been asked to eat a book? Don't try it. You're going to get the indigestion. But the metaphor that God gives us through the prophet John is that if we truly want to be formed and transformed by the living Word of God,
then we must in some way be willing to obey the command of that angel to John when the angel said, eat the book. And so John eats the book. He eats the book, and oh, did it ever taste so good. I don't know if a book ever tasted so good. I've never tried eating one, literally. Although I know of one who, in their desire to use the Word of God and the power that they instinctively knew was in the Word of God, when there was somebody among them, as a matter of fact, as a group of literature evangelists as well, happens in another country, not here, so it didn't, that doesn't have anything to do with your group here. One of them goes through a demonic possession, so they said, and then in their desire to exorcise that demon, they tore up several pages of scripture and made the person eat it. I don't know if the devil choked. But the metaphor that we're given, if we want to be transformed by God's living word, is to eat it up. And yes, when you eat it up, it will taste so good in your mouth. But be ready for a ride of your life. You might just get a sour stomach in the process. As God churns the inside of you and churns it in such a way that you begin to obey the things that He wants you to obey. Rearrange your life, rearrange your thinking, you rearrange your mental outlook in life, your worldview. Rearrange everything about you that you are bound to get a sour stomach. I go back to the emblems that we have just now participated in. And I ask myself again that question, why so deliberate? Why so slow? Almost like, you know, the liturgy is very liturgical. And I have but one answer. In that, just as it is true, that if you want to be formed by the Word of God, you need to eat it up. So also it is true with the emblems here of the Lord's Supper and of the ordinance of humility. That the essence of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not to be filled with so much information up here, but to participate in the life of God in Jesus Christ. And what better way to create a metaphor for participation in the life of God than it is to participate in the emblems here today? Oh, yes. Participation in the Word of God, participation in the life of God is a good metaphor for us Christians today. I go to the text that I've chosen for us today to just spend a couple minutes on. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The power of God's Word is here revealed to us from Scripture. So I read from the New American Standard. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature, no creation, hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, or with whom we have to answer, or with whom we have a word to account for." And I'm just thinking about this today and trying to read it from the original scripture, original translation. Excuse me, that's an anachronism. The original Greek. You see here, the metaphor that is given us about the power of Scripture to transform your life, the power of the Word to transform you from the inside out. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. Scripture is not transformative to a lot of us for the sheer reason that we don't spend enough time in it. Life gets too busy, And we want to stay in the Word. As soon as you wake up, your thought already rushes to what you should do in that day. And that there never seems to be enough time to do the things that ought to be done. And so what gets crowded out is God's Word from our lives. Have you ever experienced that? In our Sabbath school today, I revealed a little bit of myself. I don't like doing that, but, if it serves a good purpose, I will. Every single day, I'm a techie to a certain degree. I have here, you've heard about this before, right? I have put it on my iCalendar that I need to spend an hour in the Word every single morning. Every single day, there's a note for me when I wake up. It's time to do it. I've passed the deadline. I set it up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Half of the time, I can't even wake up. Just today, I had to click close, close, close 3 times, which means I'm 3 days behind. And then, see, I'm trying to count. I've lost count. I've missed so many. If we truly want to be formed by the Word of God, then it stands to reason that we need to spend time in it. And who can afford to spend time anymore? Luther used to say, or was fond of saying, I have so much to do, I couldn't afford not to spend at least 2 hours a day in the study of God's Word. One other problem, I believe, that keeps us from being transformed by God's Word is that we have bought into a certain kind of mindset that our culture has bought into, that the more you know about Scripture, the more you're going to be transformed. In other words, it's a kind of a mindset where, the more information you know of Scripture, the more you know about Scripture, the more you're going to be transformed by it. Not necessarily so. If our basic outlook in Scripture as we approach Scripture is that we can, decipher this and that and know more about, what the mark of the beast really is, however important that is, and it is important, then what's going to happen to you is that there's going to come a point in time in your walk as a Christian that you have milked the cow, so to speak. There's nothing more for you to do but to get burnt out in Scripture. I did come to that point in my spiritual walk not too long ago. I revealed this to several of you here today. Some time ago, as pastors, because of the nature of what we do for God's people, we go back to Scripture every single week. As soon as we're done preaching on Sabbath, we go back to our study that same night. We have to milk the cow yet some more. And I'm here to testify to you that that way of approaching Scripture is going to dry you up sooner or later. Did you know, and I am humbled as I reveal this to you today, that there was a time in my life already as a pastor when I couldn't bring myself anymore to read God's Word. Everything in me cried out to leave it alone. And for that, and during that darkest moment in my life as a spiritual person, as a son of God, as a minister of the gospel, I had to rely on what I learned in the seminary to preach Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, as I couldn't bring myself to dig any deeper in Scripture because my mindset was to milk the cow even more. And if that is your basic mindset in going to the Word of God, you're going to milk the cow and the cow is going to get dry. And you in the process are going to start starving. But if you approach the reading and the study of God's word as somebody that is open to the leadings of God. And let the spirits just lead you. And I know some of you get scared when somebody talks about that because there's a lot of subjectivity in that. Yes, it's true. But if you approach the study of Scripture as one that is ready to receive however the Scripture speaks to you, then chances are you will regain your first love in God and in the Word. Let me just go over really quickly at what these two verses can mean to us today. Take a look at what it says, how powerful the Scripture is. The Word of God is. When it says, for the Word of God is alive. What a thing to say about something that is just a, you know, compilation of different writings. What a thing to say. What a metaphor. What a thing to say about something that, is this really alive? It's a metaphoric language. Therefore, it says, for the Word of God is alive. And not only is it alive, it is active. The word there for in Greek is the word effective. It is, perhaps the better word to use there is not the word active, but the word potent. There it is. For the Word of God is alive, and it is potent, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. That is to say, it is able to penetrate much better into the deepest recesses of your heart and of your soul and of your spirit than anything that is sharp, anything you can conceive of that is sharp. How does it do it? It says it pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, the deepest recesses of your heart. And then what interests me is the next phrase where it says, of both joints and marrow. What are joints? Joints are things that hold you together, right? Your ligaments, cartilages, and so on. What is the marrow? A marrow is something that is in the deepest content of your body. It's found inside your bones. I remember some of you are going to think this is gross, but my dad, I didn't grow up in an Adventist family, partly because my dad was never one and was never truly Christian. And so I remember my dad's favorite stew, beef stew, slow cooked with seasonings, just, you know, seasonings that he liked, and, with the bone and the marrow in it. And he liked to go after that marrow, man, like there's no tomorrow. And the writer of Hebrews says that is what the Word is able to do. It is able to penetrate you from the deepest or to the deepest recesses of your beings and to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So I would invite you today, as we close our service, fall in love with the Word of God yet again. Try it, and you will see how good God truly is. And when Jesus Christ says that man cannot live or shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, that is truly indeed the case. So today, as you partook of the emblems of the Lord's Supper, please be reminded that in a deeper sense, even though these are just emblems, God wants you to partake in His life. And the best way that you can partake of His life is to read His Word. Spend time in His Word, and you inevitably will be transformed by the Spirit of God. And this is my prayer to all of you. God bless you all, and happy Sabbath. Ken is going to walk to the organ right now. I'd like to ask all of you to please stand up as we close our service today by singing the first and the last stanza of this song, Now Thank We All Our God, and we have much to be thankful for, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of the year, every day of our lives.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given. The Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven. The one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Oh God, we thank you that you ask us to participate in your life today. Thank you so much for the beauty of the ceremony here today, the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of humility. We thank you that we can revel in your presence just for an hour or so. Help us to worship you even more and even better as we leave this hall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. You are welcome to join us in our fellowship room for our monthly birthday luncheon. God bless you all.